Turn our Bibles to Hosea, chapter number 6, and we'll be considering just this one verse, in fact half of the verse, and we'll just see what the scripture has to say in other places where this verse is also used. Hosea, chapter number 6, and verse number 6, and we'll read verse 7 as well. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. They, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Hosea is a precious book about God's love towards Israel. And amongst all the judgment that is in it, we don't lose sight of the fact that God loves his people. And this is clear right throughout the book. But we're not going to focus more on his love today, but I want to focus more on that verse, part of verse number 6. But just for a bit of background, it was important to note that Israel had been unfaithful to God, but God had not been unfaithful to Israel. And the whole point of the book of Hosea is to show the steadfastness of God's mercy and love towards Israel, despite of their rebellion against the covenant which God had established with them. And God uses the prophet Hosea, who married a woman who later became a harlot, and then God told him to stay faithful to her. And that was to be a sign to the nation of Israel that although they have been in idolatry and have played the whoredom, as it were, spiritually speaking, against God, God has still remained faithful to his covenant with them. And his judgment is only a fulfillment of his covenant with them, because the covenant was conditioned, the blessings and cursings are based on their own obedience. But God did not forsake his people. He still had a plan for them despite their rebellion. And here in this book, you'll see the word Israel, which is referring to the nation, but also Ephraim, which is the biggest tribe in Israel at the time. And sometimes Israel is referred as Ephraim, and similar like Judah and Benjamin being referred to as, you know, Judah, and it refers to Benjamin as well. But as we come to verse number 6, we see a very important word there, and it's the word desire. For I desired mercy. The Lord is speaking here, and he teaches us of something that he desires. I think we need to know what the Lord desires and desire what he desires in our lives to be made manifest, that we could please him more. He says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The reality is the Lord, it's not that the Lord does not desire sacrifice. I just want to make that clear. The Lord actually instituted the sacrifices. The Lord actually commanded the people of Israel to offer sacrifices. They were to be daily sacrifices. The sacrifices that they offered did bring honor and glory to God when they were offered in the right way. But what he is simply saying here is this, that when you offer up your sacrifices but neglect the more important and priority of mercy, your outward religious works really have no significance to me. And he's saying, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The nation of Israel were in idolatry and rebellion against God, but yet still they had the audacity to offer up sacrifices to God, and they still had the audacity to act and pretend as if nothing was going on. But really they were in rebellion against God, and they were being very unmerciful to the one who was showing them mercy. And God is saying to them, I desire mercy. Now, the word mercy refers to a loyal, compassionate, steadfast, unfailing love. When we think of mercy, it's very often the expression of love. If I love somebody, I will show them mercy and I'll have mercy upon them. And God is simply saying, I have shown you, Israel, mercy in keeping my end of the covenant. Where is your mercy toward me? Where is your unfailing, steadfast love and compassion and loyalty to me? And God knows that if they had mercy, they would have definitely sacrificed. I mean, everyone that has mercy toward God would offer a sacrifice unto God, and therefore it would be acceptable. But there's a strong connection in the Bible between mercy and love. I want you to go to Luke chapter 10, and we'll go through the scriptures a little bit this evening. Go to Luke chapter number 10. In the greatest, parable which expresses love, and one of the most known parables in the scripture, we see the great connection between mercy and love. And in this Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, we see that Jesus, he challenges in Luke chapter number 10, this lawyer who the Lord says to him that you must love the Lord thy God, and you must also love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, trying to justify himself, who is my neighbor? In verse number 29 of chapter number 10 of Luke. And the Lord begins to explain to him what it means to love your neighbor. And he goes on to give that parable about that man that was a certain Jewish man, a certain man who was most likely Jewish, who went on his road from Jerusalem to Jericho and was robbed by thieves and robbers and left half dead. And we know the story, the Levite and the priest came but did nothing to help this poor man. But there came a Samaritan, despised of the Jews, considered dogs in the eyes of the Jews. They were half Jew, half Gentile. And he showed compassion and love and helped this man here. And then he says in verse number 37, we see the connection between love and mercy. Look at verse number 27. Sorry, verse 27 says, love thy neighbor as thyself. He justifies himself. Who is my neighbor? Go to verse 37. And he said, verse 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which one do you think was acting like a loving neighbor? And look what he said. And he said, he that what? Showed mercy on him. And he said, go and do thou likewise. We see the connection between mercy and love. The Good Samaritan was showing love to this Jewish man by showing him acts of mercy. And the Lord is showing here that we ought to be people of mercy and people of love, people of compassion. And Jesus is trying to show this lawyer that although you think you keep all the law, you must understand something, that you don't have mercy, you don't have love, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. Israel had transgressed the covenant, but God had been faithful to them. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. And I want to develop the thought a little further because that passage in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 appears again here in chapter 9, verse 13 and also in chapter 12 of Matthew. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, as you get there, I'll read from verse 10. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now listen to this verse here. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. I was challenged by the thought that the Lord said, go ye and learn what that meaneth. So I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me more about what this means. Because I think if the Lord says that these Pharisees needed to learn something about this saying right here, I think we as people of God need to really start to learn something about this passage. And I hope we learn something about it today. The Pharisees were not happy that Jesus was sitting with the publicans and the sinners. Perhaps they would think that for him to sit with publicans and sinners, he was not being as separated as he had ought to be. Perhaps by sitting with the publicans and sinners, they would thought, see this man, he's condoning the actions of the publicans and sinners, which Jesus was not at all. But they did not see that what Jesus was doing was actually showing the publicans and sinners mercy. He was actually showing the publicans and sinners compassion. He was actually more concerned not about being in the eyes of the Pharisees clean, but he was more concerned about being in the eyes of his heavenly Father clean. And that's why he was showing mercy and compassion. Now, he's saying here simply that for us to observe the outward, the outward ceremonies, as it were, or the outward things, really have no significance if there is no mercy behind it, if there is no compassion. Because there will be many a times in our lives that we have to come to the point where we understand that God desires mercy and not sacrifice. And many a times we're going to be put in situations perhaps where we think that the best thing to show is not mercy, but God says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And Jesus very clearly showing here that his desire to reach the publicans and sinners, although it could be construed by these Pharisees as something that was unrighteous and not well, Jesus said, you're missing the point. The Lord desires mercy and not sacrifice. He desires mercy more than your external outward religious observances. He requires mercy. He requires acts of mercy to those that have need. And the religious observance is no substitute for compassion. You see, the Pharisees thought the fact that they did not sit with the publicans and sinners, that they thought that they were right with God.
But the reality was that they were not right with God because they did not have mercy for them. They did not love them. They did not have compassion to reach them. Now, this is in no wise, and I need to make this very clear from the get-go, this is in no wise undermining having godless standards and being living a separated life. But what Jesus is trying to say here is you must get the priority straight, that when God calls you to reach some sinners, you better have some mercy. You better have some compassion. You better be willing to get into the place where you're willing to be seen with them and reach them and do those things, not go into their hell holes, as it were. But if you had to be invited to someone's house and someone would see you walk in to the house of a bikie, so to say, and you'd be too scared to be seen there, maybe you should have some compassion and some mercy and try and reach him for Jesus Christ instead of being overly concerned about being outwardly observed as being separated, as it were. So the Pharisees had a problem where they would not, their hearts were not conformed to God's heart. And because their hearts were not conformed to God's heart, they had their priorities all messed up. And let's look at this another passage again in chapter 12. And as we go through it, it will perhaps make more sense to you. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 7, and I'll read again from verse 1. And at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the cornfield, and his disciples were hungered. They were hungry, and began to pluck ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. Verse 3, But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that was with him? Have he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law, how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and are blameless? But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, and here it is again, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Here Jesus' disciples were hungry, but the Pharisees, externally observing this keeping of the Sabbath day, acted in harsh judgment to overlook the response to the disciples' hunger. Now, the Bible doesn't condemn plucking corn on the Sabbath, as it were. It condemns using a sickle and working. But if someone is hungry and they come past the neighbor's field, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 23, verse 25, that they are able to take and eat. Okay, there was nothing wrong particularly with that. But what happened to the Pharisees is they were so critical and so concerned and overly meticulous to the point that they lost sight of what God was trying to actually show them by the laws that he set in place. And he's saying, go back and know what this means, that I will have mercy and not sacrifice. What happened was that they became so critical about people that they misapplied the word of God to people. There's one thing to hear the word of God, it's another thing to apply the word of God. And in our application of the word of God, we must understand and apply it according to the heart of God. The heart of God is that his people will have mercy and compassion and would be able to show a love to one another. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 23 now, verse number 23 to 25. Matthew 23, verse 23 to 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make the clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Now, let me ask you this question. In verse 23, was Jesus condemning the fact that they were tithing mint, anise, and cumin? No, not at all. Jesus had no problem with their observances of the details of the law. Jesus had no problem with the fact that they would want to, as it were, show that they were doing everything very carefully and making sure that they were always pleasing God. That was not the problem. The problem was that in doing that, they lost sight and lost their priorities, and why they were being so meticulous about these things, they had lost sight of the weightier, listen to that word here, the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. And Jesus is saying, these ought ye have done and not leave the other undone. He's saying what you need to do and understand is that everything that you observe externally needs to be the expression of that which is happening internally. He's saying if you go about just focusing on the external, and lose sight of the weightier matters of the law, you are going to forget why the law was there in the first place. Why does the Bible have the Ten Commandments for? Well, we'll look at that toward later on. But did you know the first four of those commandments show our love toward God, and the latter six of those commandments show our love towards man? Okay, so imagine I observed all the external things, but I was hypocritical in my love towards God and man. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And this is what he's getting at here. These people would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. A gnat was a mosquito. And the mosquitoes would fly into their beverages and their wine in the day. And it was the smallest of the unclean animals, or insects, if you could say. So what they would do is they would get this cloth and they'd strain all the wine out into another jug just so they can drink, just to get that one mosquito out. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. They were very careful to make sure that they would not be unclean in any way. But at the same time, they would swallow a camel. We know we can't swallow a camel, but what he's simply saying is the camel was the largest of the unclean animals. And he's saying, this is a problem. Do we see the problem here? The problem is not doing right. The problem is getting your priorities right before you do right. The reality is getting your heart in line with the heart of God before you start observing those things which are outward. Or as we go on in our Christian lives, we can be very guilty of this very truth, that we learn the disciplines of the Christian life. But as soon as we learn the disciplines of the Christian life, we start to lose the heart of God behind those disciplines and why we do those things. And we become dry and we become meticulous and we become overly concerned with these things, but lose sight of the weightier matters of the law, which are the very reasons why we should be doing these things. And Jesus is saying, get your priorities right. Get the priorities right. Where is love? Where is mercy? Where is faith? These are the weightier matters of the Lord. This resulted in the Pharisees being hypocritical. And that's why he says in verse 25, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make the outside of the cup clean, right? And the outside, they make the clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are what? Full of extortion and excess." Now, is there anything wrong with a clean cup on the outside? No. But the problem is when that's all that's clean, there's a serious problem. In fact, when that's all that's clean, you got your priorities wrong. When that's all that's clean, you have fallen into the trap of being a Pharisee. And in our Christian life, that can happen time and time again, where we know what is right to do and we do it, and we do it faithfully, out of a heart of love and worship for God. We want to obey Him. We want to serve Him. We want to do everything that He says. So we observe all these proper and righteous external acts which are good and right, they're sacrifices. God accepts sacrifices. But then if we lose sight of mercy in the process, we lose sight of love in the process, but we keep on with our disciplines. And what happens? God says, hang on a minute. We start to become critical. We start to become judgmental. We start to misapply the word of God. And next thing we know, we become a Pharisee. So what does he say? Go back to the heart issue. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And this is what God wants us to understand today, and I guess I'll give it in a more practical way to us. And as I said, this is not in any way to undermine the fact that we ought to observe things in outward things for the glory and honor of God. But this is to show that if we would do these things without having our hearts changed, without having our hearts right, God will stop us in our tracks and say, hey, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And this is what's important. Okay, so let me just give you some examples. Perhaps you have a blessed conviction that you do not watch television because there's filthy things on the television. And I have that conviction. I praise God for it because there's more junk that comes on that screen than anything else. Okay, so this is my conviction. This is how I desire to honor and please God, because I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So let's just say that I don't watch TV to keep my eyes clean and my heart clean, which is why I don't. But imagine you found out that in the heart of Joshua, it was full of lust, uncontrollable lust. That all he could do was be immoral in his thinking and in his attitudes and all these things. Now, you won't say, Joshua, you might as well watch TV. No, no, it's still good that you abstain from that, but you've missed the main point here. You've made the outside of the cup clean, Joshua, but what about the inside? What about the heart? What is it that you're thinking on in your private life and all these things? But I'm so strict on what I believe. I understand that, but how's your heart? You set up the standard and the establishment of that truth simply to keep your heart with all diligence, and hallelujah for that. But if we do not understand the weightier matters of the law, the very things that drive us to observe these things, we've lost sight of God and we'll become very wrong in our mentality. Ladies, why do you dress modestly but then go out and have a boisterous spirit? Remember, modest dressing is the expression of a modest heart. And then to go out and have a boisterous spirit but to have it, that's wrong. I'm not saying don't dress immodestly. Don't do that. But get your heart right. Then come offer your sacrifices as well to the Lord. The principle's the same. If I come and offer my gift at the altar, but I realize that I have ought against my brother, what does he say? Leave your gift at the altar and go reconcile to your brother. And then come back and offer your gift. It's not saying don't offer your gift, but make sure you do it with the right heart first. And the reality is that we can get so caught up in observances of an external thing and lose sight of really the heart of why we should be doing what we are doing. Why do you show kindness to others when you have bitterness against your neighbor? Why is it that we don't work on Sunday and we keep our Wednesday nights free and we keep our Fridays free so we can worship the Lord and we give time to God? Amen. That's a good thing to observe. That's a good thing to do. But you don't spend time with God in the morning. You don't spend time with God in the evening. You don't pray all throughout the week. But you observe the days that we have set aside to glorify God and worship God together. Nothing wrong with that. Don't lose sight. You see, the expression of our worship together is that we worship God in spirit and in truth in our hearts. And we can't wait to get together and worship God with one another. And that's what it is. That's how it is. Why do you attend church? Well, the Bible says exhorting one another daily. Well, it's called today. We must exhort one another. That's why we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be here for one another. But if our exhortation begins and ends in church, but we do not exhort those in our own household, our wives and our family members and our children, then what have we done? Have we lost sight of the weightier matters of the law? Have we lost sight of the actual heart of the issue? Many of us share the gospel, and it's the gospel of truth, is it not? So we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of truth, but we can tell lies all throughout the week. So how is it that out of the mouth comes blessings and cursings? There's something wrong, isn't there? Well, how about this one? We faithfully tithe each week, and praise God for that. We give our finances unto the Lord because he's blessed us with these things. Yet when we see a brother that has need, we shut our bowels of compassion. Well, what happened there? We give offerings unto the Lord because we love God and we love the work of God. But when we see a brother have need, what's happening there? See, we can do these things, but if the heart's not there, when these times come where we ought to help a brother in need, we won't help him. And we're losing and missing sight of the weightier matters of the law. You know, we refuse to go over the speed limit, but we cheat on our taxes. Maybe we're straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Am I saying speed? No, I'm not saying that. These things you ought to have done, but not leave the others undone. So the reality is, what this is coming back to is that God desires mercy and not sacrifice. And God's saying simply, I want your heart to be in tune with me, right with me, and everything that comes out from that ought to be the expression of a love for God. You know, that Good Samaritan, that certain Jew that was left for dead on the side of the road. Do you ever thought about why the priest and the Levite didn't help him? I believe the Bible says that this man was half dead. And I believe as the priest came along, he's like, oh, if I touch him, I'll be ceremonially unclean. And he went on his way. And the Levite came along and said, oh, you know what, if I touch him, I can't serve God at the temple today. Because, you know, if they touched that man, they would have been ceremonially unclean. But you know what the Lord was telling him? Yeah, these things, you've missed the whole point. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Oh, sure, but we're on our way to Jerusalem to offer up our sacrifices. Yeah, but there's a brother here that's half dead and he needs help. What about mercy? What about mercy? The Bible says very clearly, and this is the problem of the Pharisees, and this can be our problem from time to time. We have to keep our hearts guarded by it. Jesus said that on these two things hang all the law and the prophets. On what two things? The first commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And what's the second one? Love thy neighbor as thyself. So he says, okay, these are the two main principles on which all the law and the prophets hang. All right. Now, did you know we have the Ten Commandments? And I said the first four is our love towards God. And the last six are our love towards man. Okay, now do you understand every one of the laws in Israel, the 613 laws that they observed religiously and meticulously, were all to express their love towards God and their love towards man? Every one of them. Why did they want to stay clean and not be ceremonially unclean? Because they love God. They wanted to be holy, for He is holy. Why is it that, that's the whole book of Leviticus, by the way, it's based on the principle of be ye holy for I am holy. Why is it they would offer their sacrifices unto God? Because they were meant to show an expression of their love towards God by offering up their sacrifice to God. That was love. Why were they to, even with the clothes that they went to wear, not mix cotton with thin, because they didn't want to be unclean so that they can still be holy in the sight of God. Why? Because they loved God. They wanted to make sure that they were pure in the eyes of God and could worship and serve Him. You know what Jesus is simply saying this? If you fulfill all these things but don't have love, and you don't have love for God and love for your neighbor, you miss the whole point. In every external observance, we have to understand that there is a weightier matter behind it that is the very driving force in why we do it. And we need to get a hold of that. And if we lose sight of that, we've lost sight of obedience to God in a way that would honor Him. We'll have sacrifice without mercy. And God will pull us up on it and say, there's something seriously wrong in your life. But Lord, I'm doing everything right externally. Everything's ordered out. Yeah, but do you have love for me and for others? Or are you just caught up in making sure you cross your I's and dot your T's? We should be caught up in that, as in we should be wanting to do that. But brother and sister, if that's all you caught up in and you lost sight of as to why we're crossing I's and why we're dotting our T's, you've missed sight of why God even told us to cross our I's and dot our T's. And this is the reality of our Christian experience that we have to get a hold of. Go to Micah chapter 6 in closing. Micah chapter number 6, verse number 6. It says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? These are great and sacrifices that these people are willing to make for God. But look what he says. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And when the people of God would understand His truth, out would come the sacrifices, out would come the rivers of oil, out would come everything will be on the altar for God, because it stems from a heart of love and mercy and compassion, and they've understood why God put it there in the first place. If we mess up the priorities, we'll be in big trouble. We must have the priorities right. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He said, judge not, lest ye be judged. And then what did he say? For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? But considerest not the what? Beam that is in thy own eye. So we behold the fact that our brother does not observe outwardly those things which God requires, but we don't understand that in doing so we have actually just passed a judgment, which is a condemnation, which is wrong, that has only proven that we have broken the weightier matters of the law. And he says, how about you first go out and take out the beam that is in thine own eye, and then you can go and help thy see clearly to cast a mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, he's not saying don't help your brother get out of what he's struggling with, you know, as it were, but we must first consider what's in our own eyes. We must first consider if we're understanding what God wants for us, as it were, in obedience to why we do what we do. Proverbs 21 verse 3 says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. You know, Galatians chapter 5 verse 22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's all those, what is it? They're all the weightier matters of the law. Out of love, joy, peace, all these things, out of those things flow every good work. Out of those things flow every outward obedience act unto God, flows out of these blessed things here, the fruit of the Spirit. And then he says, against such there is no law. And you know what he's simply saying here? You will break no law against God. No law can ever condemn you if you are full of love, joy, peace, and you're walking in the Spirit of God and in the power of the Holy Ghost. You'll break no law. There'll be no law that can say you're guilty. How? When you're keeping all the weightier matters of the law. You see the problem here? The reversal. If we miss, if we don't get the right priorities in these things, we'll miss it all. We'll miss it all. And I guess the challenge is, oh Christian, have you come to the point in your Christian experience where you just do what you do because you just do it? Or do you do what you do externally because you actually know why you do it? Because it comes from a heart of love, and it comes from a heart of worship and faith and joy and peace. And I do all these things for the glory and honor of God, because He's worked in me a change that only comes out. And when it comes out, this is how it looks at. And Christian, I urge you that if you look at somebody else and you see the external observances, you must understand this very thing. Be encouraged by their testimony, but never lose sight of the fact that you just copying them externally will not be what God requires, but that you would allow God to work in your heart, that what would come out would be the same thing as what's going on in their life. Do we understand that? That's very important to get, because in our Christian life, we can be guilty of this truth, and one day God's just going to stop and say, hang on a minute. Too many sacrifices. You missed the point. Where's the mercy? Where's the love? Where's your covenant relationship with me? Are you upholding your love and desire toward me? Or you're living an idolatrous life that nobody can tell on the outside, but in the inside, you're bowing down to idols. Like Ezekiel, when he went to the temple and God said, go into the inner place. And there they saw the men and the elders of Israel worshipping Tammuz. Oh, on the outside of the temple, it didn't look that way. But what happened when he went in? That's a bit like our lives sometimes, isn't it? On the outside, it can look like a clean cup. Let me ask you, how's the inside? How's the inside? Out of the heart proceeds fornication, murderers, uncleanness, idolatries, all these things. These are the things which defile a man. Not that a man eats with unwashed hands. Not what goes into a man, but what comes out. You see the issue? Priorities. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Help us never lose sight of the weightier matters of the law. This would be called a Pharisee. Let's pray.